Hi everybody, I'm Ira. I'm a student from Symbiosis, Pune, and I'm here in Audible Radio. I'm interviewing Frederick. He's one of the pioneers of Audible as we know it today. Hi Frederick, good morning.
Good morning.
So, can you please tell us what made you come to Audible in the first place?
You know, I'm quite old. I was young when the war in Germany finished. And actually had a relatively okay time in Germany. It was an adventurous time. But I was never really at home in Germany. I always felt very uncomfortable, particularly as we as young kids would often be sent to the concentration camps to see what has been done by us terrible Germans to the Jews and so on. And I never could understand what happened to a civilized country like Germany. So I went into a lot of stupid things. I was a student. I had money. My family comes from a quite rich background. But I really felt always like a foreigner in Germany. And when I had finished my A-level, Abitur we call it, matriculation, I did not want to study. My family thought I would go into business or I would go into the academic world, and I said no, and I did what they now call a gap year. And I wanted to go to America because America is the promised land. It is the liberator. They got everything. It is the new world. But I had been to East Berlin and my passport showed that I had been in a communist state, so they would not allow me into America. So I said, okay, F off, I go the other side. And I took a boat in 1959 from Italy, Genoa, and I traveled for 2 weeks as the only passenger to Bombay. It was an Indian cargo boat, Indian steamship company, and I reached Bombay in December 1959. I was just 20 years old, and then my Indian adventure started. For us in Germany, India always was very strong, you know, from the classic time in Germany. We always looked at India. A lot of things were translated into German from the Vedas and the Upanishads, Max Müller and so on. And we also felt after the war, for us young people, there were four figures, four personalities which really spelled a new alternative. It was Mahatma Gandhi, Rabindranath Tagore, Vivekananda and Sri Aurobindo. So I came actually to Bombay and I took a train to Calcutta and I went to Shantiniketan to spend some time in Tagore's Garden University. And then I traveled, and in 1960 I traveled down, saw many places, Bhubaneswar, Konark, came to Madras, came to Pondicherry, and arrived in Pondicherry, I think, June 1960. I had just turned 21 in Rishikesh, in Shivananda Ashram was my birthday. At that time the mother was very available. I could see her every morning. She gave darshan, balcony darshan, and I was started working in the ashram. I saw the mother quite often. At that time it was not difficult. I had not really asked. No, it's not quite true. I saw her quite often. In effect, I was not so interested. But when before I left, I felt I should see her and say thank you, because she after all was the head of the ashram and the ashram had looked after me. And then I asked for a darshan, which she gave me. And when I then saw her, this sort of changed my life. And I knew that I belonged to her and I wanted to dedicate my life to her. So I came to India in 1959, saw the mother in 1960, left again for trips through Japan, went back through the ashram in 61, went to study in Germany, and returned to India for good in 1966.
Could I please know why the experience with the mother was life-changing, as you called it?
Well, it's a very personal experience, and it's difficult to bring back that moment. I came with some hesitation. I was very attracted to the philosophy and the vision of Sri Aurobindo. I was not so attracted to the mother. I thought, wow, this French lady, I'm not so sure. But when I finally got permission to see her, I had to walk up the steps and got into the first floor, into that room. That was the Darshan room, and she had her chair behind the door. And when I saw her there, bent forward, I remember thinking, oh, quite old. But then when she looked at me, and don't know what happened, I wanted to talk to her about problems, intellectual problems, but I couldn't speak, and I was on my knees. And then she gave me an experience in which I could sort of, with her eyes or through her eyes, she led me inside myself, and I looked at myself, and I saw myself like as a lit up landscape with all my anxieties and fears and wishes and desires and shames. I saw it all, and she didn't necessarily approve of them, but she looked at it, and it was such a wonderful experience to be totally known by somebody. There's nothing hidden. And then she also showed me the possibility. I was a young boy, if you fulfill your role in your life, why you came on this earth. She didn't say all that, but that was the message I could experience. And she gave me sort of a picture of a glass tube which had a little bit of liquid on the bottom, the rounded bottom, and the lit up empty glass tube. This is what you can become, filling up this glass tube. This is your role, but you have to fulfill your role in life. And it was quite clear that my role was to serve her. But you know, even though you know what your role is, you're vital, you're a young boy, have a lot of money, want to experience the world, and she encouraged it. Yes, you want to travel on. Where do you want to go? And I said, well, maybe I thought I would go to Japan. He said, yes, yes, you should see my friend, Mrs. Kobayashi, who had just been there. So I felt I was sent by her. She was my mother. I mean, it was not just the Divine Mother. I had a very strong feeling of having a mother.
That's really lovely to hear. So was that when you decided that you're going to spend your time in Aurora?
Yeah. Obviously, it didn't work out this way. But you might say when something inside you is suddenly sees a deeper conviction and can see. You have been looked at, but you also look, and you can see, yes, that's what I meant to do in my life. And in the same way, when I came back from Japan, which was a very powerful experience, I did Zen meditation, and I was very strong in this very martial, very strict vipassana. And, but when I saw her again, everything melted. And then I went back to Germany. I wanted to learn a skill as a gift for her, because I was teaching in the school, I was working in the library already. I wanted to be skilled to bring her a skill which I can offer her. So I started studying for 6 years.
Okay.
It was a terrible time. Germany was terrible for me. It was like if my soul had stayed here and my body had gone, so I was empty. 5 years, very difficult. I was becoming very radicalized. It was before all the young people on the road, before the drugs, before Berkeley and Rome and Berlin and Paris, I mean. But there was this restlessness, this rebellion against the existing, and I became very violent in many ways. And finally, in 1966, I knew I could come back. So I came back to the ashram and surrendered to her. I remember having the sensation that whatever I am, whatever I do, whatever I have, belongs to her. It's difficult to transmit that to somebody.
Yeah.
But if you meet in the true inner sense the guru, that's the experience you have. You get emptied. There's nothing left of you. maybe the time of the personal guru is over, may not be necessary anymore. Evolution goes on, and maybe now Auroville becomes a guru, whatever, I don't know. But for me at that time, it was like a liberation from a very difficult beginning and to a liberation into her arms, no?
So there are a lot of people who are really intrigued by the idea of Auroville. What do you think, like for you, it was your meeting with the mother that helped you surrender to her and come to Auroville. What do you think motivates everybody else to do the
what
same?
What do you say?
What do you think motivates everybody else to do the same, people who haven't met with the mother?
You know, I have children, I have 5 children, I have multiple grandchildren. I wonder about that also. I don't know. But I can sense, I can feel there's a great commitment. They're very loyal to Auroville, especially when they go out. I mean, 5 of my grandchildren are studying outside in America, in Holland. But for them, Auroville is really their home. And I wonder what motivates them, yeah, not having met. But as I say, maybe the experience of a personal guru is not indispensable. It may be helpful, but maybe Matrimandir or Auroville,
yeah,
or the sense of the community of Auroville is like a commitment to them. I know my eldest son, Hero, has met the mother when he was a small kid. He went through a very, very troubled time. I mean, when he was adolescent, like all of my children, most of my children went through a bit of a trouble. And when they go out and they talk back about Auroville, they would say, but Auroville, there is something in the soil which is nowhere else in the world. There is some, you know, each one has his own connection. I mean, if you are interested in Auroville, you could also ask yourself, what is it I have not met? I have seen picture of this old lady, I have seen picture of that old man, Sri Aurobindo, then what? But it will come to you, not necessarily in the form of these pictures, it will come in other ways. I can't say that. There was such a subjective experience that I can't speculate on what brings people here, but I can sense a great commitment and loyalty to Auroville. Not in the way I expected. Older people like my age, they would be bitching about, oh, this is not the Auroville we wanted, this is not why we came here, this is not what the mother wanted. I truly can't judge like this. I don't know. And maybe it's lucky that what we at that time thought should happen did not happen. Maybe it would have been as limited and an historical statement, and now there's a new life maybe that is even more adequate for the present situation in the world.
Could you elaborate on that part? I didn't quite understand.
You see, the world is changing a lot. I mean, at that time when the mother spoke about Auroville, there was a sense that the world is ready for Auroville. She speaks about Russia, she speaks about America in the agenda, she speaks about Ford Foundation. I feel that she had an idea. We would all stay away from Auroville. Auroville would be built by contractors. There was even ideas like she did the Bharat Nivas. ECC would build Auroville, for example, make it key ready, we cut the ribbon and we all move into Auroville and we are happy. That was a plan. 15 years. It obviously didn't work that way. And there are some statements of her with regard to Auroville which refer to this scheme. But then obviously the scheme changed. It was a different scheme. The world had changed. And I think the relevance of Auroville now for where the young people get involved. I just came back from Delhi where we have an exhibition on Auroville before UNESCO. The relevance of Auroville for India and for the world is different now. Now we are like a laboratory where we can experiment certain things. How do a young girl like Ira and an old man like Frederick, how can they work together and bring something together which is not in competition, which is not a conflict, which is not polemic, which is more complementary to each other, where we are brothers and sisters on the same side. I'm not standing on the other side and tell you what to do. We are both exploring the adventure of Auroville, no? So it is changing while the world is changing.
So, like, I've been here, like, for 2 weeks now, and I've heard, like, a lot of, you know, some people think that it's deviating from the mother's vision. Mm. Some people are, like, unhappy with where it's going. So I'm just trying to understand, do you think that where Auroville right now is like at a good place, like it's going in a great direction?
You know, we are so full of judgments and labels. I think we should get away from it. If it feeds you, if it makes you happy, if it nourishes you, if you walk after a rain through Auroville and look at it and say, beautiful, look in the night and see the Matrimandir, then who is to say whether it is, you know, what does deviating mean? It means as if there is a way, a right, a via, a right way, and you're losing the way. Who can judge that? I don't feel that. I mean, there are certain things which shouldn't happen. This is clear. I feel, for example, that certain things where we become too individualized, we are becoming too commercialized. Money is does become a big factor in our community life. We should be aware of it. We can't help it, but we can reduce it in some form. That we try to, I think there is not an either or. We can give a shift, a small little shift more towards one side. Less individual enterprises, less isolation, more chances for collective meeting, more cultural expression. Beauty has become very important in my life now. It is like something which older people suddenly discover. I never had time to look. And now I have more time and I can see how important beauty is. So you encourage these parts of Auroville which bring us together, the radio, the news, the activities, the Sangamam, the sports event. Encourage that, no?
Yeah. So I'm really curious to know, like Auroville back then must have been really, really different from Auroville now. Mm. Is there, what change is most obvious to you, like the one that you notice the most?
Well, you know, it's like, we always look for pioneering or beginning when there is nothing. It's a barren land, windswept, no trees, no water, rough. We go out, this is pioneering. It's a much easier pioneering than now. Now we are established, you can write down, you have a financial service, you have a housing service, you have a radio. To find the adventure and the pioneering and the new beginning in our setup is much more difficult, but it's continuously happening. It's continuously happening. So don't get stuck to the externalities of it. And I think that's why Mother wants the Matrimandir. And I think the most important thing which came into existence is the structure of the Matrimandir is ready. And she said to the chief architect, you give me the Matrimandir is a soul and it will build its body. So it's now radiating like in a true, beautiful, harmonious body. It means it is in accord, in balance, in harmony with a psychic being. That makes beauty, you know. That makes also physical beauty. So I think Auroville has now built the place for the soul. And whether you go there or not, it doesn't. But it is now penetrating the material realization of Auroville, and I feel very good about it. That was not there. That time, in the beginning, there was a mother there, we would okay. refer to. And then came a long time of battle and fight, where basically the comradeship between us were very strong. We had to make, you know, join arms and hold on. It's like, you know, being in a storm. That's over. Now we have become an institution that isn't good. It is stabilizing it, but it's also a trap. We should not settle down and say, okay, now it's fine. Now I'm comfortable. Now I can do my little garden and I have my little fence. And that is a trap. That's a danger. No?
So you should constantly keep...
We have to be on the way. You know? I just felt that we have to live like an arrow, not like a square. You have to be moving onwards. That's what actually Sri Aurobindo calls the Aryan. The Aryan is not an ethnic denomination. Aryan means the one who moves upwards and forward.
So on that note, I've heard that you've been responsible for a lot of projects in and around Auroville. Mm. So are you trying to express something particular through your participation in all these projects?
You know, they make a joke and say, well, you're doing a Frederick. That means you start something and then you run away. right? Which is very bad. It's not what I'm doing. But it's true, I love to start things. Whether the first thing I did actually when I came here was to start a free midday meal, because there were workers and it was very, very poor here. There was nothing. I said, like, we cannot work with people who have not eaten. So we start. So I'm starting a lot of things in this way. Sports. I always was hungry when I was after the war. I always felt between 1 o'clock lunch and dinner at 4 o'clock, I have a deep hole in my stomach.
Yeah, the gap is too big. I feel the same.
So I said, well, you cannot expect the kids to run and jump when they're hungry. So I started a free kids cafe. Unfortunately, right now it's not functioning because it was raining, but I think it's important. I mean, in the school scores, sports, Dea Shakti and Ness and Elanga Kal and so on, they do get a snack, but nevertheless. And my present project is very much connected with the celebration of the 50th. And out of that comes a lot of things. I think there are two things which I feel very interested in. One is for Auroville and for our surrounding to become more interconnected. To become, there's a grace that Mother allows this to happen in India, allows it to happen in Tamil Nadu, allows it to happen in Vanur Taluk. This is our soil. There are a lot of stories about that. But that interconnectedness of Auroville here has to not only be acknowledged, it has to be sponsored and helped and made fertile. We can learn a lot from, many of us come from the West and are busy turning this piece of India into a Western enclave. We don't want a Western enclave. We are run away from that. So my feeling has always been connectedness to communication. No? I'm not a Tamil. I don't look a Tamil. But I don't want to be pretending that I act like a villager. I'm not. But I think there can be a comradeship, there can be a friendship, there can be the differences should be celebrated instead of suffered. And that's something I bring into the 50s a little bit. So, and the other thing is, I feel 50 years Auroville is a turning point. It's like in a human life. At a certain thing, you have finished one phase and you enter a next phase. And I think the next phase is really that Auroville has built a bridgehead now. We are here. We can't be pushed back into, like they say, you can't push the toothpaste back into the tube. We are out. We are there. We are on the map. But we have not really actively partnership. And I think it's happening on many projects, the CSR and Aurelio with the music and alternative energy. And they do a lot. But Auroville becoming a partner to other institutions within India and abroad. We have Auroville International in different. But make it an active field of collaboration. I think that's very important. And what I always felt when I went to Delhi and spoke to people, the government, you know, why is the government supporting Auroville? Because the government has stood behind Auroville in five, now just now they have passed another UNESCO resolution, because it recognizes somewhere that Auroville is a beautiful manifestation of the message of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother to the world. You know? And I think we have grown out of that, might say, third chapter of Auroville into the chapter of adulthood, where we can look and become partners and relate, where we can learn and bring in people to help us in our growth, and we can make the benefits of our experiments and the results available to the outside. No?
Oh, so now the next step for Auroville is collaboration. So you visited the 50th anniversary celebrations in Delhi, right? Can you tell us a little about what events took place? How was it for you?
Well, it was a bit of an uphill struggle here. It was not immediately supported. We had to do a lot of convincing here that this is something Auroville wants to do, because it easily can be, it is still there, can be looked at, oh, you're advertising Auroville, why are you making propaganda for Auroville? I said, no, we are not. We are not trying to convert. We are making Auroville more transparent and make the information which Auroville genuinely has available to people who genuinely ask. And I think it's our dharma. We have to fulfill our role. That's what Auroville was made for. If it would just be a little island of happy people, why should the government give us so many facilities, you know, exemption from Land Ceiling Act, tax exemption? Why? Unless we fulfill what Auroville is stating in its objectives. And this is something where Auroville becomes relevant to India and the world. So I think we have to make that available and we have to learn. So after it became also accepted from the major groups, in whether it's the working committee or whether it's the outreach group or whether it's, so it became, we made a special group, the 50th group, which is a good team. And we got also support from the Auroville Foundation. I went twice before to Delhi. We booked a place. We have a Delhi core team. We have support there. And then 20 of us went to Delhi, or more than 20, 22 or 23, representing Auroville on many aspects. Not Auroville as a religious body. We do refer to Mother and Sri Aurobindo. They are the basis, they are the source of our inspiration. But we are not a religious body, we are not a sect. We have specific interest areas, themes, which we make available, which we show, whether it's education, whether it is alternative energy, whether it's arts and craft, whether it's city building, whether it is agriculture. There are things which are of importance. We show our products, we show our publication, we show our artwork. We could have had also something from Auroville Radio on a loop, some interviews. So the venue was good. One was the Indira Gandhi National Center for the Arts, which is a large center part of Delhi. And the other one was a newly built UNESCO building. Both venues are very good. I don't think there was such a big crowd, big and small. It doesn't really matter in this sense. What was important that it was, the media was there. It was given some due coverage in the media. And it's the beginning of a process. So the next phase will be next year. I would like to organize a mobile exhibition through 6 capitals of India, which may be Bangalore, Bombay, Ahmedabad, Chennai, Delhi, Varanasi, Calcutta, Hyderabad.
A mobile exhibition.
A mobile exhibition having again visuals, both in print, also in video, on Auroville, different themes. Having films on Auroville, which was made, having products, having people. And I would like it to be an experience for the young people of Auroville to see something of India. Many people don't know much about India. So we take 3 shifts or 4 shifts of young people. Let's say we take a van and travel around. So the first shift of, let's say, 4 youngsters, who are the staff, who will be trained in the school to man this exhibition. They go from Pondicherry, Chennai, Bangalore, Bombay. And then they are shipped back by second-class sleeper, and the next shift comes. Let's say from Mumbai, Ahmedabad, Delhi.
Right.
And then the third shift goes from Delhi, Banaras. I think they should experience Banaras. It's Shiva, it's an eternal city. Calcutta, Sri Aurobindo's birthplace. And the last shift would be Calcutta, maybe Orissa, maybe Konarak, maybe Hyderabad, and then back to Chennai. Wonderful idea. And I had done this 40 years ago, and I realized that actually the benefit might not have been so much for India as such, but the benefit was for the youngsters who traveled along. They learned something, and they realized there is a large country,
yeah,
and they don't know much about it.
It would be a really beautiful experience for them to be on board with
right,
this exhibition.
Right, and yeah, they have to take it as a part of their on-hand learning experience. They have to prepare themselves. So say they take the shift from Bombay, Ahmedabad, Delhi. So they have to, maybe we can make a little visit into Rajasthan from Ahmedabad, or Baroda, where Sri Aurobindo had this large experience of the Brahma consciousness. Or we go to Delhi. Delhi is, what is it, Hastinapur? What is the old Delhi? It's the ancient city of the...
Fatehpur city?
Tell me that where the Mahabharata, Hastinapur?
I forgot. Hastinapur, yeah. Yeah.
That is Delhi.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's ancient.
Yeah. That way they'll get to know more about these cities as well. Yeah, that's a really nice idea.
And cover it, bring it back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all equipped now with their cell phone, cover it,
yeah.
Make a montage, report on it. So it's at the beginning, you prepare yourself, you are actually go through the experience, and then you report to it. It's a good experience.
It would be actually, I would love to
so
do
you
it.
You can book yourself for it. You do the radio coverage of it.
Yeah, I would love to. So you're constantly thinking of like new changes to be made, new things to be done. And I think that's amazing. Like, I'm really curious to know what continuously fuels you. Like, how do you continuously have that motivation to want to make that change?
You know, people say, Fred, stop it now. Look at your passport. Relax, relax. I say, I don't want to relax. Why should I relax? I hope I'm not overpowering. You know, I have a strong vital, and I feel once you are recruited, I feel often like a soldier. I've been recruited by the mother, and so I like to serve her. I mean, for example, one thing she told me in the beginning, there was nothing in Oroville. You build a house of brick and concrete to show to the world that we are here for good, because everything was temporary. So that was like a marching order. The building itself was about 3-4 years, but then the continuity, that house became Orison's home, and that need for continuity and stability was at least necessary for 15 years. It was like a command from headquarters. It wasn't what I choose. I'm not somebody who is good in continuity. I'm very bad at it, actually. I felt I could step back now, but I do feel as if this communication of Oroville with its surrounding and its relevance. I mean, every time I open the computer or whatever, and I see what's happening, I feel motivated. There is something Oroville can give. And we have to be available. We don't go around and shouting it and converting, but the information has to be there. And it's pressing, it's more and more urgent, no? We don't have the luxury to say, okay, let's keep it a bit time, let's wait another 10 years till we are ready and so. Maybe because I'm 78, I don't have the luxury. Okay, that's maybe my personal thing. But I think also Oroville has to be alert. It has to be ready. Mm. You know?
So for you to be a true Orovillian, does it mean to like continuously be working towards the good for Oroville?
You know, first of all, I don't like, and I would like the system to change. I don't like to be an Orovillian. You are not an Orovillian. I don't believe in that division. What is that? What is that supposed? When we started, till maybe the foundation set in, there was no such a label, Orovillian, non-Orovillian. Now it becomes a whole process and a whole thing, and you get benefits which you don't get when you know. Okay. I will not bitch about the present situation. And maybe it's necessary, there has to be. But I think this welcoming. So that's my first comment on Orovillian. Maybe I should become a friend of Oroville, or I should become a newcomer to Oroville and get this whole other vibration. I'm aspiring for the city. So I'm still feeling that this is something very important. Unless something else than just having a good time or just doing a little apprenticeship on Oroville, unless something else catches you and says, no, I really want a change. I want a change in myself. I want a change in the world. I want to not live this normal domestic life. Your parents are now looking for a husband for you, and they're settling you now, and in 5 years you're going to be a mama, and then you have a little place in Pune, and that's going to be your life. And if there is a deep outcry from within, from your soul, say, that is not my dharma. That's not, I'm not telling you this, maybe that is your dharma.
It's not, for sure.
Who knows? I'm not going to prime you. But for some people, that's not their role. Full stop. and their orbit becomes meaningful. She says, only for those for whom the world as it's now becomes, I don't know the word, impossible or unlivable, Orville has a meaning. And it's true. If you compare Orville to a human being, every time you enter a new phase, we don't grow gradually. We grow in quantum leaps. And you might suddenly, in your own life, having a little child, and suddenly you wake up in the morning and you feel you now are an adolescent, or you're now an adult. Or it doesn't go slowly. The Orville has been slowly, but not much. And I sense we are ready for a quantum leap, for something which just suddenly propels us on to the next step. In Sri Aurobindo's vision, there is a kind of accelerated movement at a certain state, and a moment has come where the acceleration has come to a breaking point, then the whole thing jumps to the next level. And I think Orville is ready for that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's really lovely.
It was nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.